has joined. Has joined.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
We will be studying the second Aliyah for Parashat Bo. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Brichu Ishkinte Idhilu Urchimu Udhilu Udhilu Urchimu L'yakta L'shem Yudhe Bavate The Yehuda Shilim B'Shem Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, Lasot Torah Mitzvah, Vayehino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadenu Kononeh Aleinu Maaseh Yadenu Kononehu. The second Aliyah goes from Exodus chapter 10, verse 12 to 23. This is a total of 12 verses. We'll start with verse 12. We discussed yesterday what the significance of the number 12 is. Vayomer Adonai Yoheh Waheh Adanu Yo Yoheh Dawanu Hey Yo El Moshe Nete Yadcha Al Eretz Mitzrayim Ba'ar Belial Al Eretz Mitzrayim Vayokol Et Kol Esev Haaretz Et Kol Asher Yishir Habarad Vayet Moshe et Matehu al eret Mitzrayim Adonai Yo hey wahey Adanu yo Yo ahey dawanu hey yo Nihag ruach kadim baret Kol hayom hahu, v'kol halaylam haboker, hayav ruach hakadim nasa et ha'arbe, v'yal ha'arbe, al kol eretz mitzrayim, v'yanach v'kol gevul, Mitzrayim kabed me'od lefanav lo haya ken arbe kamohu v'acharav lo yehiye ken v'aykas et ken kol b'aretz v'atechshach aretz Vayokal et kol esev haaretz v'et kol peri haaretz asher hotir habarad v'lo notar kol yerek ba'etz uvesev asadeh v'kol eretz mitzrayim Why maher paro likro lemoshe ulacharon? Why omer hatati la adonai? Yo he wahe adanu yo. Yo wahe dawanu he yo. Elohechem willachem. yata sa nahatati ach apam lahatiru la donai yo he wa he adanu yo yo ahe dawanu he yo Elohechem we aser me alai rak ed hamavet hazeh. Vayetze me'im paro, vayetar el Adonai, yohe wahe adanu yo, yohe dawanu he yo. Vayahapo Adonai, yohe wahe adanu yo, yohe dawanu he yo. Ruach yam hazak meod vayisa et harbe v'et ka'ehu yamasu lo nishar arbe echad b'kol gevul mitzrayim v'aychazek Adonai yohe wahe Adanu yo, yo ahe dawanu he yo. Et le paro willo shila, et pene Yisrael. Wayomer Adonai yo he wahe. Adanu yo, yo ahe dawanu he yo. El Moshe nete yadcha. Al ha-shamayim, v'yihi hoshech al eretz, Mitzrayim v'yamesh hoshech, v'yet Moshe et yado al ha-shamayim, v'yihi hoshech afela b'koch, Eretz Mitzrayim Shiloshet Yamim Lo Ra'u Yish Ed Achiv Velo Kambu Yish Mitachtav Shiloshet Yamim Ulkal B'nei Yisrael Haya Or B'mosh Votam. That's the completion of the Hebrew reading. We'll now begin to study the English. Chapter 10, verse 12. Hashem said to Moses, "Stretch forth your hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts. And they will ascend over the land of Egypt, and they will eat all the vegetation of the earth, all that the hail has left over." How does Moses stretch his hand over the land of Egypt? Over all of the land? Does he just wave it as the full, as far as his hand can reach out all the in all the different directions? Or is there something more miraculous in Moses' ability to stretch his hand? So Moses stretched forth his staff over the land of Egypt, and Hashem led an east wind in the land all that day and all the night. By the time it was morning, the east wind had borne the locusts. Did the locusts get created by the east wind? Or is the word born a better translation would be brought? The locusts. because modern science tells us that the locusts are brought from one place to the another by the wind. The locusts ascended over the entire land of Egypt, and they alighted within all the borders of Egypt. Very severe. Before them, there was never such a locust plague, and after it, there was never to be one like it. They obscured the view of all the earth, and the earth became darkened, and they ate all the vegetation of the earth, and all the fruits of the trees, which the hail had left over. And no greenery was left in the trees or in the vegetation of the fields throughout the entire land of Egypt. And as we discussed and asked the question yesterday, did the locusts eat the trees? Did the hail destroy the trees? Verse 16. Pharaoh hastened to summon Moses and Aaron, and he said, I have sinned against Hashem your God and against you. But now, forgive now my sin only this time, and entreat the Hashem your God, and let him remove from me just this death. So he, Moses, left Pharaoh and entreated the Lord, entreated Hashem. And Hashem reversed a very strong west wind, and it picked up the locusts and thrust them into the Red Sea. Not one locust remained within all the borders of Egypt. That also was a miracle, because typically there are locusts left behind when the wind changes direction. And the Lord strengthened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the children of Israel go out. Hashem said to Moses, stretch forth your hand toward the heavens, and there will be darkness over the land of Egypt, and the darkness will become darker. So Moses stretched forth his hand towards the heavens, and there was thick darkness over the entire land of Egypt for 3 days. And they did not see each other, and no one rose from his place for 3 days. But for all the children of Israel, there was light in their dwellings. That's the completion of the translation. Does anyone have any questions?
Hello?
Hello? You have a question?
Yeah. You said that the west wind came and took the locusts and threw them in the sea. So I wonder why they were destroyed. Even with the west wind that came through, they would have been dispersed to another area. So why were they thrown into the sea?
If you're familiar with the area of Gaza, There's around, it's not, Egypt is not north and south, east and west. It's tilted a little bit. So a west wind means it blows towards the east, would have brought the locusts in towards the sea, because they, when it was blowing west, it was actually blowing towards the sea, towards the east part of Egypt, which is bringing it into the sea in the area of Gaza. If you kind of look at the geography, you have to see it on a globe, I think, not on a map.
So were they destroyed? The locals, were just relocated.
I'm not clear on the question. Please ask it again.
I think you had stated, if I recall, that they were thrown into the sea.
Yes.
To the sea. So if they were into the sea, were they drowned, or were they just dispersed to different areas? I mean, they were still alive.
No. No, locusts cannot swim. They fall into the sea because they're basically locusts do not have wings, but the wings are not sufficient to fly. The wings lift them off the earth, and then the wind picks them up and moves them where it will. So when they're thrown into the sea, they basically die in the sea.
So they become food for the inhabitants.
For the fish or for whatever catches them, but they basically cannot leave the water. Because once their wings are wet, they have no ability to lift off to catch a wind.
So you think that Hashem, that was mercy for the other lands or other inhabitants of the land, so that they would not destroy other vegetation?
Correct. The swarm of locusts are very destructive.
Mm-hmm.
They create a tremendous amount of hunger, because of the destruction of all of the life, the green of all the plant life. Nothing is growing once the locusts leave. So we're going to continue our study of Perek Shirah. We're in chapter 4. We are still discussing what the rooster is saying. We've discussed the first two calls. Now for the third call. Tzadikim v'yisku b'Torah v'kedei sheyihye shekarkem kapu la'olam haba. Now, it's interesting that the source of this praise of God is not revealed. For whatever reason, it's not discussed. The interesting word that's used is from the word la'asok. In your morning prayers, there are two ways that we bless Torah. One is that we to study Torah, to speak the words of Torah. And the other is la'asok Torah, which is the same word that's being used in this verse. So let me read the English translation, and then we can discuss it. In its third call, it says, "Stand, O righteous ones, and busy yourself with Torah, so that your reward shall be double in the world that is coming." When you speak words of Torah, it's clear reading the words of the Torah, you were listening to them. Perhaps you were speaking along with me. But la'asok, or in this case, le'imku, this translation is actually the way I heard it when I was first introduced to the word. To busy yourself with Torah. But what does busying yourself with Torah really mean? It's not speaking the words. It's not studying the words. It's becoming a living Torah. This is the idea of busy yourself with Torah. What is living Torah? What does that mean? What does busying yourself with Torah truly mean? It means that your reactive nature becomes doing the right thing. Because Torah is part of you. It's not separate from you. It's not, I have this situation, I look around, and I know that the words of Torah tell me to do X. That's studying Torah. Living Torah is you don't need to look around and remember what the verses said. You just do the right thing. Because the Torah is so connected to you, and you are so connected to the Torah, that your reactions are righteous. Your reactions are doing the right things. Your reactions know that it's the right time or it's not the right time. So you know what you need to do and you do it as a reaction. That is the concept of being la'asot Torah, living with the Torah. I don't know why there's no source to this. But it's interesting that this is the third call of the rooster. The third call of the rooster is Tiferet. It's that balance point. It's the central column. Going on to the fourth call. Bakol Revi Omer Le Yeshuatcha Kyoiviti Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yoahe Dawanu Heyo. This is from Genesis Bereshit 49, chapter 49, verse 18. In its fourth call, it says, the rooster says, I have hoped for your salvation, Hashem. Now, why would the rooster be looking for salvation? What is salvation? That's the interesting question. Salvation in this context is being, it's got the kaf at the end of the word meaning his or your. Your salvation. So he's looking for salvation from Hashem. Or is the rooster looking for salvation for human beings. The fifth call. Bekol chamishi omer ad matai atzel bishkabatai takum mishnatecha. This is from Mishle, from Proverbs. In its fifth call, it is saying, how long will you sleep, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? Now, who is it talking about? The rooster is saying, to praise God, how long will you sleep? But, oh, sluggard isn't a positive idea. It can't be talking about Hashem. It's talking about human beings. Which is maybe why we can tie in the fourth call, that the salvation, the rooster is praying for mankind to have salvation. But you have to wake up. This is the message from the rooster. And we have to learn from everything. This is a major issue to learn from everybody. So you don't think that you're better than another person and you're not better than the rooster. Does anybody have any questions? We have three more calls today, classes today. Our 11 o'clock class is continuing our basic study. Will be this. Our 4:30 class is a deep Zohar class, and our 7 o'clock class is an essay by the Uri. I wish you all a beautiful week. Shavuot Tov. Shalom Gadol to everyone.
Shalom. Thank you. Hey, Shalom.
Thank you.
Shalom.
Shalom.